You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Labor has announced as one of their election deal promises with the Green Party to hold a referendum on the legalisation of cannabis for personal use before 2020. If the referendum is successful, personal use and growing of cannabis will be legal, but it is unclear whether the sale of cannabis will be. Some argue that this doesn't go far enough, and that all drugs should be decriminalised in Aotearoa following the Portugal model, where all drugs are legal for personal use. I spoke with Ross Bell from the New Zealand Drug Foundation about the referendum and drug reform more widely, first asking him how he felt about the referendum.
It's a referendum on the legalisation of cannabis, which is quite different to decriminalisation, of course, because legalisation could mean a whole lot of things from a commercial market where you sell cannabis from supermarkets to something else. Fundamentally, we're really supportive of any opportunities that we all have to change New Zealand's obsolete drug law. So it's good news for us.
And do you feel the public will get behind it? You think there's appetite for change?
I think there is appetite for change. I don't think we have a clear sense of how far that appetite extends. So we've done for the last couple of years, an opinion poll of the public, which consistently finds 65% of New Zealanders support either decriminalisation or legalisation. And that level of support is consistent across different, voter interests. So conservative national voters support reform and green voters support reform. So we know that there is a latent level of support there. I'm optimistic that there would be support, majority support in a referendum, because that 65% support that we've found exists now without there having been, a whole kind of public educational information campaign around, cannabis law reform. So I reckon that if New Zealanders engaged in real mature conversations about what the future of New Zealand's drug law might look like, I think we would actually maintain that high level of support or even get it higher.
And you've called for the decriminalisation of all drugs. How exactly would this work?
Well, the model in that world that we favour is what they did in Portugal. And I think a lot of people understand now what happened in Portugal back in 2001. They decriminalised all drugs, and at the same time put a whole lot of resources into their health sector, whether it's in drug education and prevention or into treatment. And so the Portugal model works like this. If you're allowed to have 10 days worth of drugs for personal use. If you get picked up by the cops, you get referred to some health professionals who can talk to you about your drug use, and if you're assessed as having a drug dependency problem, then you get referred to treatment. It's not compulsory, but you get referred to treatment. So it kind of channels people away from the criminal justice system into getting help. We think a similar model would work really well here. We need to remove the criminalisation that we're giving a whole lot of New Zealanders, and particularly young and Māori New Zealanders are the ones who get convictions, and at the same time we have to make sure that we step up and provide the right kind of help to people who need it. And at the moment, our treatment sector is woefully funded at the moment.
So would it still be illegal to sell the drugs?
Yeah, and that's the weakness of the Portugal model. And I guess it's the weakness of decriminalisation. So yes, it removes the criminal penalty around possession, etc., but it leaves this big unanswered question of where do you get the drugs from? And obviously you're still obtaining your drugs from the criminal black market under a decriminalisation model. I think you could tinker around with it enough to allow people to, for cannabis for example, decriminalise growing plants for yourself, decriminalise trading cannabis amongst friends. And so you could actually address some of the supply side things in that way. But fundamentally, that brings us to the whole issue around this referendum, which is around legalisation. And a legal cannabis market would start to address the supply side issues, taking the moving the black market into a legal market. And there's a whole lot of models for how that could be done, whether it's government licences or people growing their own or community, you know, co-ops or some other thing.
What is the current experience of people who are found with drugs? So, I mean, if they go into the criminal justice system, do they just sort of get no help? There's no rehabilitation? They just have to go to prison? Or, I mean, how does it work at the moment?
Well, yeah, I mean, so obviously not everyone who uses drugs are getting picked up by the police and channeled through the criminal justice system. So, you know, the criminal justice system is actually a fairly poor way of, you know, providing people help if they need it. And yeah, look, at the moment, we haven't for decades invested enough money into drug treatment. But the typical experience of someone who gets a drug conviction is, I think, one of the key issues we have to look at, because once you get that conviction, you're screwed. The conviction isn't going to stop you using drugs. Research out of Canterbury University shows that even people who get a conviction, they continue to use drugs. So, you know, it's not a deterrent and it doesn't stop use. But it gives them a real punishment which is going to last their whole life. And you know, it's very difficult to get a job if you have a conviction under our drug law. It's also very difficult to travel to certain countries, but I think fundamentally the difficulty of getting a job is where the problem is. So you want to remove all of that, and we do have to address this real issue, this real crisis actually we have in mental health and addictions, where there simply aren't enough services. You know, there are huge waiting lists. There's parts of the country that have no services whatsoever, and some of the services that currently exist aren't meeting the needs of people who need help.
And do you think this will get better under the Labor government?
Well, they're promising that. So, you know, the referendum is one thing that's in the agreement with the Greens, but Labor themselves have committed to put more money into addiction treatment. So have the Greens. The other neat thing in the Greens-Labor deal is that it has this broad phrase of let's treat drugs as a health issue, which I think, you know, we've been saying for a long time, and I think a lot of people agree with that sentiment. And so if that's your sort of overarching principle that this is a health issue, there's lots of things that fall out of that. You know, how do we deal with young students in schools when they're busted with drugs? You know, are we going to suspend and expel them, or are we going to put help in place instead? You know, what kind of education prevention sort of stuff, you know, what does that look like? What about drug checking services at music festivals? You know, what about this whole meth contamination bullshit that Housing New Zealand is on about? What about workplace drug testing? So if you look at this issue through a health lens rather than a punitive lens, there's lots of things that could potentially shift under the new government.
And moving back to decriminalisation, if you were to decriminalise all drugs, I mean, some people say this would sort of exacerbate the problem of, say, meth use if it's there's less of a deterrent if you're found with it. I mean, what do you say to this criticism?
Well, I think that's a fear. I think that's a legitimate fear that people have. Which is why when we talk about decriminalisation, we always talk about the Portugal model, because they did two things. They changed the law, and at the same time they invested in health services. I think if you just change the law, all you're addressing is the criminality and you're not providing help for people who need it. And the experience of Portugal is that drug use actually came down, so it's kind of counterintuitive. I understand kind of the gut reaction that people have around, oh shit, if you change drug law, then you're going to increase drug problems. But what Portugal experiences is that actually you can reduce drug use, particularly amongst younger people, and you can channel people into help. So that's a good thing. Even in the US, where they've got the new commercial cannabis markets, they haven't, you know, the sky hasn't fallen in there. And Canada next year is about to legalize, put in a government-regulated cannabis market. And I think if they do it right, that could be a model that New Zealand could learn from as well. So it doesn't necessarily stand to be true that if you change your drug law, you're going to increase drug problems. I actually think the opposite is the case. You can do really smart law reform, really good investment in prevention and treatment, and you can see drug harm and drug use come down.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.